Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What is this? What is this? Why am I tied up?
Well, we just want to talk to you. We're not going to hurt you.
Where am I?
You recognize this?
Do you recognize this?
Hey, we want to help you. But to do that, we have to understand how to kill it.
Why am I tied up? 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 Let me go! Let me go!
Let me go! Let me go!
Good morning, everybody. Yes, good Saturday morning. I know what you're thinking. You're probably looking at your listening buddy right now and saying, Saturday? I thought this show came out on Friday. It can't be Saturday. Well, everybody, it is Saturday, and the show is coming out right now. Due to technical difficulties, Stranger Danger Episode 16 was not able to be released on Friday, yesterday. Last night. That technical difficulty being, I fell asleep. So I was able to reboot my system, meaning I woke up, and now here we are, talking about Stranger Things, Episode 8, Season 2, The Mind Flayer. We don't have to call the Shadow Monster anymore. So should we waste any more time talking about my personal sleeping habits, or should we just jump right into it? We're back with the main story, okay? So the little side story of Eleven, where we last left off, Eleven had left her punk criminals to come back and save all of our friends. And our friends there was the Demogorgon dogs that were almost going to attack the kids and Steve. But they ran off to the lab, and at the lab, they started showing up. So that's where we left off, and that's exactly where we pick up those Demogorgon dogs. That's what I'm calling them, because they don't have a name yet, even though they get a name in this episode. So they start coming out of the hole, coming out of the gate, and we see Hopper and Owens there watching them. And Owens is like, oh, don't worry, it's polycarbonate something glass, but
that's not going to stop a monster. Those things start smashing and smashing through the glass. And Mike and Bob, they run back to Will and Joyce, and they're like, we're too late. There's panic in the lab. People are scrambling, running around all over the place. And Mike realizes that Will needs to be asleep. He realizes that if Will's the spy, and if Will's asleep, he can't be spying on them from the shadow monster.
We need to make Will sleep.
What?
He's a spy. If he knows where we are, so does the shadow
monster.
He's
lying.
He killed the soldiers. He'll kill us, too.
He's lying. He's lying. He's lying. He's lying. He's lying.
Shit. Those are gunshots.
He's lying. He's lying.
Will, listen. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
You're mom.
Hold him down.
No, let me go.
I'm sorry.
Let me go. Okay, first of all, the kid who plays Will, his acting in this episode is, again, just superb. So they knock him out, so that he can't see, the shadow monster can't see through Will anymore. Hopper and Owen show up, they grab Will, and they all start trying to run out together, but there's no really easy way to exit. I mean, you see military guys shooting and getting killed, and it's just complete anarchy going on. Not anarchy, but complete pandemonium. So they are able to run into a security room, and they see all the Demogorgon attacks on these monitors, on these security monitors, and then boom, the power goes out. We then cut over to the only part of this episode that really doesn't play into the story. We see Billy and Max's house for the first time. Max is gone, and Billy's listening to The Four Horsemen by Metallica while smoking and lifting weights, which is, very healthy. You can just see he's trying to get himself ready to go out. He's got a date. I think he padded the bulge in his pants with a sock. And Billy and Max's parents get home. It's Billy's dad and Max's mom. And you could see kind of where Billy gets being such a jerk because his dad's an asshole. He's mad because Billy let Max, leave and not know where he is. She is. He hits him. We see Billy crack for the first time. We see him cry a little bit. You see some sympathy with him. So I don't know what that means because the sympathy for him goes away in the final episode. And, I know that, they wanted, Steve to be the bad guy, but they liked the guy so much, so, they kind of made him a more sympathetic, more enjoyable, more friendly, more likable character. I don't want them really to do that with Billy, but they did at least give him some sympathy. But don't worry, we're still going to hate him. So we cut over to Dustin, Lucas, Steve, and Max, and they're all in the woods walking along the railroad tracks. They're basically trying to follow where the Demogorgons and Dart, where they all went. And this is when it comes out during conversation that Dustin had Dart the entire time. And it starts a little argument between Dustin and Lucas.
Well, when's he going to molt again?
Well, it's got to be soon. When he does, he'll be fully grown or close to it. So will his friends.
Yeah, and he's going to eat a lot more than just cats.
Wait, a cat? Dart ate a cat.
No. What?
No.
What are you talking about? He ate Mews.
Muse? Who's Muse?
It's Dustin's cat.
Steve! I knew it! You kept him!
No! No! No, I... He missed me. He wanted to come home.
Bullshit!
I didn't know he was a Demogorgon, okay?
So now you admit it.
Guys, who cares? We have to go.
I care! You put the party in jeopardy! You broke the rule of law!
So did you!
What?
You told a stranger the truth!
A stranger?
You wanted to tell her, too!
Yeah, but I didn't! Lucas, okay? I didn't tell her! We both broke the rule of law, okay? So we're even. We're even.
No, we're not even. Don't even try that! Your stupid pet can eat us for dinner!
That was not my fault!
Hey, guys!
He wasn't gonna eat us!
Also, he was just trying to come and say hello.
Guys!
No. Hey, guys, why are you headed towards the south?
Hello? Hello? Shit.
So they all run towards the noise and come to a clearing, a big open space where they can look kind of down upon the city. And they see the power's all out, and they, with binoculars, Lucas looks and notices that right in front of them is the lab. And they realize that these monsters are going home. Inside the lab, we have Owens and Hopper and Bob Newby. They're trying to figure out how to put the power on. And they realize, you know, Owens tells them that, you know, you need to reset these breakers. Bob stops them, and he's like, you know, once you reset the breakers, you need to reprogram the failsafe that will open the doors. Do you know basic? And Hopper didn't know anything about what he was talking about. And Bob Newby basically stepped up and said, you know, I know basic. I can't just teach you basic. What do you want me to do, teach you French? He's like, look, I can do it. So Hopper gives him a gun, gives him a flashlight, and he tells him, look, you do not wait for me. And Hopper's like, I will get them out. That's Bob Newby. Bob Newby, superhero. Hey, we see Jonathan and Nancy for the first time in a little while. They're actually trying to get past the gate at the lab. The power's out, and they're not able to get in. They realize no one's there, and they hear something in the woods. And what is it? There's something coming. They see flashlights, and oh, it's Steve, Dustin, Lucas, and Max. And I wrote down, people are starting to team up. I love this! Four exclamation points. I've said it before, and I said it again. When you're off running your own little adventures, it's great. But when those adventures start to come together and the entire gang starts to get together, I love it. I love it. And this, of course, is the episode where everybody gets together. And there's only one episode left. But it all happens here. So this chunk of the gang, you know, while they're kind of meeting up and saying hello to everybody, then they hear the roars of the monster coming from inside the lab. Back inside the lab, we see Bob kind of working his way down to the breaker room. Has some, you know, tense moments, sees some dead bodies. There's a steam kind of pipe that breaks, of course, to scare him. But he finds the breaker room, turns on all the main power. And outside, Nancy notices that the power's back on, but the gate's still not opening. Dustin, kind of being a pest, is like, let me try it. You know, Jonathan wasn't able to open it, and Dustin's yelling at him to let him try it, like that's going to do something special. But then inside the lab, Bob reboots the system, which opens everything, including the gate, and of course, Dustin thinks that he did it. Now, when this happens, all the security cameras come back on, and they notice everybody notices the kind of the anarchy and the Demogorgons attacking everybody all over the lab on the cameras. So Bob, and they notices that there's some heading towards Bob, so Bob has a great idea, and he turns on the sprinklers to scare some of the monsters away, which is pretty great. So that's it. They're able to leave Hopper, Joyce, Mike, and Will, and Owens. Except Owens does the brave thing. Because he is not Dr. Brenner. He is not Dr. Brenner. He does the brave thing, and he stays behind. He stays behind to help guide Bob out with the walkie-talkie. Everyone else pretty much gets out pretty easily. And Bob almost has a clear shot out, but luckily Owens notices right at the, well, I say luckily, like it really matters in the end, but he notices that a Demogorgon is coming around the corner, and he very quickly gets Bob to hide in a closet.
How are you holding up there, Bob? You all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a pretty clear shot to the front door.
Okay.
Well, you can do this, okay?
You're almost home free, all right, Bob?
Oh.
stupid, stupid broom. I mean, he almost made it, and he ran, and he actually, I'd say he did make it, but he had that one moment where he looks over at Joyce and smiles, and it stays on him too long, and you think, well, this isn't going to end good, and boom, Bob Newby, superhero, attacked by Demogorgons, I like Demodorgon, and he's basically eaten and ripped to shreds. Bob. One is on top of him, then more come. Hopper starts shooting at them, but he realizes they have to leave Bob behind. Joyce is devastated, and he just pulls her out, and at that exact moment, awesomely, Jonathan and Nancy pull up. Hopper grabs the rest of the kids, and guess what? They're all together. So Jonathan and Nancy have Will, Mike, and Joyce. And Hopper pulls up to get Dustin, Lucas, Max. Is that everybody? Dustin, Lucas, Max, and Steve. So the entire gang is finally together. But let's take a moment to say, Bob, rest in peace, my friend. They say Goonies never die. So, Bob, you're still with us, even though you died. So we cut over to the Byers house. Everybody is there. Will is passed out. And Jonathan is trying to talk to him, just try to get through to him. Hopper is on the phone talking to some law enforcement. I don't know exactly who. He's trying to report everything that's going on, but you can see he's not getting anywhere. The kids are all pissed off. They feel like they have to go do something, and Hopper just yells at them that they're going to stay there and they're going to wait for help. He goes and checks on Joyce, who is, you know, devastated. I mean, she found a great guy, and he's gone. She's had to deal with a lot of crap. And he doesn't say anything. He doesn't hug her. He just sits on the floor, and they sit together quietly, which is, I just thought, pretty sweet. Just a nice little sweet gesture. Back outside in the main part of the house, Mike sees some of the toys that and brain teasers that Bob brought over, and he tells the rest of the kids a cool little story that Bob actually was the originator of Hawkins AV. Hawkins AV is the club that they're in. He said he taught Mr. Clark, their teacher, everything he knew about AV. And he said that, you know, you can't just let Bob die in vain.
We can't let him die in vain.
Well, what do you want to do, Mike? Right, the chief's right on this. We can't stop those demodogs on our own.
Demodogs?
Demogorgon. Dogs. Gamma dogs. It's like a compound. It's like a play on words, you know?
Okay.
I mean, when it was just Dart, maybe.
But there's an army now.
Precisely.
His army.
What do you mean?
His army. Maybe if we stop him, we can stop his army, too.
The shadow monster.
We got Will that day in the field. The doctor said it was like a virus. It infected him.
And so this virus, it's connecting him to the tunnel?
So the tunnels, to the monsters, to the upside down, to everything.
Whoa, slow down.
Okay, so the shadow monster's inside everything. And if the vines feel something like pain, then so does Will.
And so does Dart.
Yeah, it's like what Mr. Clark taught us. The hive mind.
Hive mind?
A collective consciousness. It's a superorganism.
And this is the thing that controls everything. It's the brain.
Like the mind flayer.
What?
The Mind Flayer.
What the hell is that?
It's a monster from an unknown dimension. It's so ancient that it doesn't even know its true home. Okay, it enslaves races of other dimensions by taking over their brains using its highly developed psionic powers.
Oh my God, none of this is real. This is a kid's game.
No, it's a manual, and it's not for kids. And unless you know something that we don't, this is the best metaphor.
Analogy.
That's what you're worried about. Fine, but an analogy. For understanding whatever the hell this is.
Okay, so this mind flamer thing.
Flayer, mind flayer.
What does it want?
To conquer us, basically. You know, it believes it's the master race.
Like the Germans.
The Nazis?
Yeah, the Nazis.
If the Nazis were from another dimension, totally. It views other races like us as inferior to itself.
It wants to spread and take over other dimensions.
We are talking about the destruction of our world as we know it.
That's great. That's really great.
Okay, so if this thing is like a brain that's controlling everything, then if we kill it, we kill everything it controls.
We win, theoretically.
All right, great. So how do you kill this thing? Shoot it with fireballs or something?
No fireballs. You summon an undead army because zombies, you know, they don't have brains, and the mind flayer, it likes brains. It's just a game.
What the hell are we doing here?
I thought we were waiting for your military backup.
We are.
And even if they come, how are they going to stop this? You can't just shoot this with guns.
You don't know that. We don't know anything.
We know it's already killed everybody in that lab.
And we know the monsters are going to molt again.
And we know that it's only a matter of time before those tunnels reach this town.
They're right. We have to kill it. I want to kill it.
Me too, Joyce, okay? But how do we do that? We don't exactly know what we're dealing with here.
No, but he does. If anyone knows how to destroy this thing, it's Will. He's connected to him. He'll know his weakness.
I thought we couldn't trust him anymore. That he's a spy for the Mind Flayer now.
Yeah, but he can't spy if he doesn't know where he is.
Yes, I understand. That audio clip was long. That was a few minutes long, but it had so much jam-packed in it that I had to play the whole thing. And we got Dustin saying the demodogs for the first time. So I can start saying demodogs without saying, oh, we haven't heard that yet, even though I've used that before. We start hearing about the Mind Flayer for the first time. You know, the first season, they kind of use the term Demogorgon based on Dungeons & Dragons. And this year, they're using the Mind Flayer, another Dungeons & Dragons creature. Basically, they're using it as an analogy because Mike realizes that, you know, the Demodogs are his army, and if we can stop him, maybe we can stop his army, basically bringing up the idea of the hive mind, meaning kill the head and, you know, everything else dies with it. And of course, it's pretty much based on a toy, which was kind of funny, but they did have the right idea. The right idea meaning that this thing wants to take over, and if to defeat it, to defeat everything, they have to basically lop off the head. And Joyce is all for it. But the cool thing is they're like, how do we do it? And Mike's like, Will will know. Will has to know. He's the spy. If anybody knows his weakness, it's Will. But they're like, how do we use Will? He's our spy. And it's cool because he says, well, you know, Will can only spy. Will can't spy on us if he doesn't know where he is. So we end up getting this, some montage and some character moments where they're going to clean out the entire shed. Basically clean out the shed and make it look like nothing he's ever seen before. They put up weird paper, they put up trash, they cover everything so that it doesn't look like any place they've been before. During this, Dustin apologizes to Lucas about Dart. He says he understands if Max, you know, he wants Max to take his place in the party. He's like, Max is not my girlfriend. And Dustin's like, you know, I saw you guys holding hands. He goes, I felt it between you two. And Lucas is like, what? He's like, the electricity. There's also a scene where Max and Mike are together, and Max is trying to break through to Mike, telling him how awesome 11 was he heard from Lucas. And Mike is like, well, he shouldn't have told you that. He was still really pissy to her. And, you know, you could see it's bothering Max, and Mike needs to snap out of it. So they get the shed all together, unrecognizable, and then they bring Will in, tie him up to a chair, put these giant lights on him like he's being interrogated, and I think it was ammonia that Hopper used to wake him up. So Hopper, Mike, Jonathan, and Joyce are in the shed. Nancy, Dustin, Steve, Lucas, and Max are hanging out in the house. They're just kind of, they have no idea what's going on. They're waiting. Max is concerned, you know, what happens if he finds out where we are? And Lucas doesn't hold back at all when he says, Judgment Day. So inside the shed, Will wakes up, and he is confused. And he starts screaming at his mom and screaming, "Why am I tied up? Why am I tied up?" And his voice changes, like it gets deeper and just, it's like almost, well, it's like he's possessed. And it's freaky. And you heard that. That was the audio that opened up the show. Mike and Jonathan are just watching, horrified. You know, so Joyce starts talking to him calmly about his birthday and all these crayons that he got all these cool Star Wars toys from his friends, but all he cared about were those crayons. And he drew for hours, and he made a spaceship, but it wasn't from Star Wars or from a movie, it was his own spaceship. His mom was so proud of it, she brought it to work, bragged about it, hung it up, made him so embarrassed. She's just basically trying to break through to him. And then Jonathan does the same thing. He talks about a memory about when their dad left, and the two of them made Castle Buyers for the first time. They're just trying to get to Will. And they stayed up all night. And then Mike tells a nice little story about the first day of kindergarten, and Mike didn't know anybody, and he was sad, and he walked up to Will, and he asked him if he wanted to be his friend, and Will said yes. Just like that. He said it was the best decision he ever made. And you see Will kind of looking at them, and you think, you know, maybe they got through. Maybe he's going to, you know, talk to them. And all he says, all he does is look at his mother and he says, "Let me go." And he keeps saying, "Let me go." And Hopper just like, oh, he's distraught. But he looks down and he notices Will, his two little fingers on the right side, tapping something on the chair.
What happened?
I think he's talking, just not with words.
Hey, what is that?
Morse code.
H-E-R-E.
Here.
Will's still in there. He's talking to us.
Awesome. So Jonathan goes and grabs his boombox and starts cranking the Clash. Basically, as a diversion, really. They just start talking to Will about everything. Starts talking to Will about the song. But it's just a cover. It's, you know, they just start talking to him about everything. Joyce is talking to him about being a good kid, how he gave a toy to a girl. Mike is talking to him about Dungeons and Dragons. And meanwhile, he just keeps tapping away. And Hopper is watching him and using the walkie-talkie to kind of relay the tap-tap dot-dot-dash Morse code back to the kids in the house. And they're deciphering it, and they got C-L-O-S-E-G-A-T-E. Close gate. And then the phone rings. Oh, shit. The phone rings, and Will hears the phone, and his eyes start rolling around. The Mind Flayer basically figured out where they were. Will knows that ring. Will knows what that telephone sounds like. Will knows that this is his house. And now the Mind Flayer does too. He's tracked them. So quickly, Joyce gives him medicine to knock him out. But it's too late. I mean, they're all running into the house. Hopper grabs a shotgun. It's too late. They hear the monsters coming. So they run into the house. Hopper has an extra gun, and he wants to give it to Jonathan, and he kind of freezes. And it's cool because Nancy's like, "I know how to do it," so he gives Nancy the gun, and they are just ready. So you got Hopper with a gun, Nancy with a gun, Lucas has his wrist rocket, Mike has looked like some kind of chalice, just ready to fight, because what else can they do? And they're coming. You can hear them coming. You can hear, like, the monsters. They're getting closer. But then, wait. Something's going on outside. You can hear a struggle. You can hear some of them scream. And then all of a sudden, smash! One of the monsters flies through the window, but he's not there to attack. He falls on the floor, dead. And then there's nothing. Calm. And then they all turn because they hear the door start to unlock. It unlocks itself from the outside. And when the door opens, in walks in 11. Looking so badass that it's awesome. I actually wrote down, the entire last episode was worth it for this moment. Everyone is in shock. You know, this is the new 11. She's got the hair greased back. She still has that punk look. Everyone is freaked out, but none more than Mike. She looks like she's on the verge of tears and smiling. He's on the verge of tears and smiling. Her nose is bleeding from using her powers. And that's it. That's how it ends. I mean, come on. Awesome, awesome ending. And that's the type of ending that a Netflix show just makes you want to jump right into the next episode. But, my friends, that will not be happening for us. At least not today. Because that's the end of Episode 8, The Mind Flayer. Stranger Things 2, also known as Stranger Danger 16. Last season, there was only 8 episodes. But this season, we have 9. And I like to think of it as 8 episodes with our story and one extra one for 11. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. What did we learn today? See, this is what I like to do at the end of every episode. I like to talk about what we learned. And I wonder, do we learn a lot? A lot happened, but do we learn a lot? Well, we learned that Bob's a hero. Bob's a superhero. And Bob risked his life to save everybody. And gave his life. We learned that Owens really is not a Brenner. He's a good guy. He ultimately will do what is right. What does that mean for him? We don't know yet. He's still in the lab. We learned that now at least Lucas knows about Dart. I don't know if Mike knows yet, but at least Lucas knows. And that's out in the air. I think Lucas and Matt and Dustin are going to be okay. We'll see. We still see that Max and Mike aren't very friendly. We learned that you can trick this monster. You can, if it's using a host as a spy, you can make the host sleep, and the monster cannot be cannot track where you are. And it turns out if you trick the host to not know where he is or she is, in this case it's Will, hiding in what he didn't realize was his shed, then the monster can't use Will's knowledge to figure out where everybody is. So that was pretty cool. We also got a Dungeons and Dragons name for the monster. The Demogorgon creatures, at least they now refer to them as Demodogs, and the Shadow Monster, they're now referring to as the Mind Flayer, which is kind of that Dungeons and Dragons creature that will take over any race and use it as his own, and it's the hive mind aspect that they think could possibly be what this is, basically kill the head and everything dies with it. That remains to be seen, but I think that's everything that we learned in this episode. And of course, the entire gang is now together. I think I said the entire gang was together before. That's not true. Now they're together because 11 is here to save the day. And that, my friends, is about everything I can discuss with Episode 8. The Mind Flayer. A day late, but, you know, hey, commitment, man. I woke up right away this morning and recorded this episode, and it probably shows with the quality of talking and the quality of production. But that's okay. I appreciate you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys for downloading. If you have a moment to subscribe, if you're not subscribing to this podcast, there's only one left, My friends, next week is the season finale of Stranger Danger, talking about the season finale of Stranger Things. What happens after that? Probably just going to take a long break on this feed. But if you are not subscribed to this through Geek Mentality, look up Geek Mentality, because I'm over there. Every Stranger Danger episode is there. You get sporadic episodes about me just talking about things I like. And then every June, you get 30 episodes in 30 days talking about 30 different movies. It's movie month. This is going to be the fifth annual movie month coming up. So I would love you to check that out. And everything is available over at our website, which is fansnotexperts.com. We have a new Metallica podcast that you can check out if you're into heavy metal. There's an old Iron Maiden podcast that I'm reposting and I'm bringing back to life. And of course, we have a wrestling podcast. We have a podcast about Boy Meets World. It's called Man Meets World. We have a bunch of podcasts over at fansnotexperts.com. So check it out. And they're all available on iTunes. So thank you guys for listening. And this is it. It all comes down to one final episode. Find me on Twitter at Geek Mentality. And until next week, and I plan on saying next Friday, I'm not going to fall asleep this time, everybody. Until then, beware the Demogorgon. And what I really meant to say is beware the Mind Flayer. Beware them all. But Eleven is here to save us.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.